Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Late motion from Hawes, handoff to Cook, cuts it inside, he's got the first down, through a hole, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown, James Cook, 45 yards to the end zone for a Buffalo touchdown. Four-man rush, Allen has time, looks down the left sideline, and it's complete to Gabe Davis, who's wrestled to the turf, but he's out to the 28-yard line. It's a 22-yard pass play and a first down. No, it's a play-action fake. They fire to a wide-open receiver in the end zone for a touchdown. It's Christian Kirk for a 2-yard touchdown reception. The Bills bid on the play-action fake to Chubb, and Kirk was wide open. Looks right, now left, throws in the flat to Marks, who's buried in the flat. Matt Milano labeled him for a huge loss at the 39. Back to pass, pocket collapsing, Allen in trouble, and he's tripped up and dropped for another sack. This one by Daniil Hunter. Pocket collapsing, fires, and it's complete for a first down, but the ball is fumbled by Shakir, scooped up by Houston, and coming the other way is Jalen Reed, the safety. It's a turnover for Buffalo as the fumble was forced by Kalen Bullock, the safety.
Okay, well, this is could be an interesting show today. We have a reaction extra point show today on the Northtown Automotive extra point show on a Buffalo Football Friday on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sal Capaccio with you here today to talk all about everything you just heard and more about what went down in Houston last night. The Bills falling 23-19 to the Houston Texans. And of course, every single Friday on the Extra Point Show, it is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8 by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922. The differences today are, today's show becomes more of a Monday type of reaction show. Not a normal Friday where we have Sean McDermott. We're obviously not having Sean McDermott. We will have him later. He will speak, I should say, to the media a little bit later today to update injuries and things like that. There are plenty of injuries to get updated on from the Buffalo Bills last night. So we'll hear from Sean McDermott a little bit later. And we're going to take your phone calls today on what went down. So a reaction show today. And, of course, you can jump into the YouTube stream as well and the bullpen. And that is at WGR 550 on YouTube. So check that out. Let me just adjust my camera a little bit there. So you have to go up and down. Because I am today at Studio Capaccio. There you go. So I'm at Studio Capaccio today. And hopefully everybody can see me and hear me okay. Because we're ready to hear from you on the phone lines at 803-0550. Thanks a lot for coming in. As always, we got Robert, IDL716. We got Mega. We got Diglia. We got Bill C. User T numbers. I'd just like to say AC man, as always, thank you. 999 something here. JT from USA. So yep, I'm seeing you. I got you there, and you guys can kind of talk right there. And as I always say, the bullpen is free to you for you to talk, but it's really probably not for me to talk to you in very much today because I'm going to be taking phone calls and walking through what's going on and what happened last night in Houston. So we'll get right to that here. A really tough night for the Buffalo Bills offense, especially started off with a tough night for the Buffalo Bills defense. They actually turned it around, though. The Bills defense held the Houston Texans to 60 yards of offense in the second half. In the first half, the Houston Texans had a total of 201 yards of offense. I mean, think about that. You're like, how do you give up 200 yards of offense and a half to a Davis Mills-led offense? 201 yards. The Texans finished with 261 yards. So they finished with 60 yards in the second half. First half, not a good performance by the defense. They turned it around. First half, not a great performance by the offense. Second half, even worse by the standard of scoring points, making critical plays. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And you've had time to digest it. I have not listened a ton this morning to Jeremy and Joe. And partly, well, there's a few reasons that I actually joined them. If you want to hear my segment earlier with them, you can find that. But I actually joined them this morning. Otherwise, I really didn't listen much. And there was a couple of reasons. Number one was I got back on from Houston last night at literally the sun was coming up, I think. It was like 5 a.m. And had to get some rest in before this show. But the other part is, you know, I just didn't want to be kind of, yes, tainted in what I thought you might be saying and wanted to be more organic today. Although I can kind of predict it because that's what we do here. This is a reaction show. And I know where a lot of the reaction is going to go, but I want to hear you talk about it and your thoughts, which are basically fire this person, fire that person, right? Get rid of the OC, bring Brian Daboll back. It's time has come for McDermott. It's time has come for Bean. If that's what you feel, you have every right to call up and talk about it. I'm not going to stop you. I think there's important things to remember here. That is that the season is not over, although it feels like it. Even Deion Dawkins said that last night. Feels like it's the last game of the season. It's not. Season's not over. But what the Bills' goals are for the season feel like they're slipping away rapidly, right? Feel like they're slipping away rapidly. Meaning, not only getting the one seed, which is pretty much kind of, at this point, you'd say like a pipe dream, right? You'd have to win out and have a bunch of teams lose. But even winning the division, which I think going into the season seemed to people, and even myself, I would say, like a foregone conclusion. And I know you shouldn't think that way, but because of who the Bills have been and are, and because of who the division has been and we thought might be, it seemed like almost a foregone conclusion that the Bills would win their sixth straight AFC East championship. You wake up this morning, there are two losses behind the Patriots and a head-to-head loss behind the Patriots. So as of right now, not only do you have to beat the Patriots head-to-head, you basically have to hope for them to lose two more games on top of that and you to win out. Because you got to finish ahead of them in the standings due to tiebreakers. Unless the Patriots were to lose to the Dolphins or the Jets, then the tiebreaker becomes a little bit different. Then it's conference. And even then, Patriots have a 5-2 record, the conference Bills 4-3. So it's an uphill climb. Bills find themselves right now in the sixth seed of seven teams in the AFC. And this week, the Jacksonville Jaguars play the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, I think they're favored in that game. They should win. And if the Jags win, they tie the Bills in the standings. And I think they would be passing them, actually. Bills would be a seventh seed. They can't fall any further than that this week. But if the Jags win this week, the Bills could go to seven. Now, Chargers are off, so I guess that wouldn't matter. Pittsburgh is playing, so that could matter with Baltimore. But you get the point I'm making here, which is the Bills are a lot closer to the playoff cut line at this time than they are to winning the division. And that's not a good thing to see. We've seen it before. After 12 weeks of season in 2023, after 12 weeks in 2023, the Bills were actually 6-6 and in the 10th spot in the AFC. They still won the division because Miami collapsed and Deontay Hardy returned a punt a long way for a touchdown to win. But the Bills were 6-6 and in 10th place in the AFC after 12 weeks of 2023. In 2022, after 12 weeks, The Bills were in the fifth seed at 8-3. Better record, but one spot higher. And they still went on to win in the division. The difference this year is you have a New England team in front of you. Hey, there's two differences. You have a New England team in front of you who just isn't slowing down and has a very doable, gettable, winnable schedule, if you will. But the second difference is I think we all see and feel that this team is not the same team that it's been. And that's where we need to start. It's not about last night's game, right? I think last night's game has been a bit of a microcosm of what this season has been for the Bills. It is a roster that does not have enough answers when things are pressing on either side of the ball. Yes, they have injuries, and that plays into it. You can't make excuses for that. Every team has injuries. No doubt the injuries are hurting the Bills. Michael Hoyt's injury certainly hurt the defense. When he came back, he was going to be somebody that could help them. Offensively, they have some wide receiver injuries, but I don't think that's been an issue. Dalton Kincaid's injury, certainly not being on the field, he probably definitely would have helped last night. But let's be honest, even with Dalton Kincaid in the lineup, this offense has serious flaws. And I think that's where a lot of you have been going and want to go. Yes, the defense does too. And yes, the defense has issues and gets run on. The defense stepped up time after time last night, I thought, to give the offense opportunities. It's never about one thing, one side of the ball, one person. The offense isn't just about Joe Brady. It's not just about play calling. It's not just about the roster and the wide receivers. It's not just about Josh Allen. It's everything. The offensive line last night, certainly. And that's where I think when I get a lot of reaction on social media at Sal Sports. By the way, last night, like, I knew it, right? Game's over. I'm like, hey, what's your arrow up, arrow down? And how many people said, no arrows up. Terrible. Nobody deserves one. Well, that's your job as a fan to be emotional reactionary. And I get in the moment you feel that way. But that's how you feel, right? Which is everything's going wrong. It's snowballing. And this team is just not in position. I'm not about to sit here and maybe you want to like just give the season up. And think that, oh, play for draft choice. I think that's dumb. You don't do that. You still need to try and get in the playoffs and try and win. And in fact, there could be an argument made, to be quite honest with you, that this year being in the playoffs, I know you want the one seed, but if you're not going to get the one seed, the argument could be made it might be better to be a wild card. Then there would actually be the 2, 3, or 4. Because the 2, 3, or 4 are going to host either Buffalo, Baltimore maybe, Kansas City, whereas the 5, 6, or 7 might go to Denver, Indy, or Pittsburgh, or New England, right? I mean, it's kind of wild like that. I'm not saying it's a better position. I get it. But get in the playoffs, you never know what happens. But right now, I'm not confident that how many wins this team's going to get down the stretch. I think they're still better than the Pittsburgh Steelers, better than the Cleveland Browns, better than the New York Jets, better than Cincy, I think, even with Joe Burrow, because of their defense, I think, but who knows about that. Don't know. I doubt they're better than Philly. I don't know. They got a lot of their own issues. So you're probably still looking. And then New England, right? I think they're right there with New England. I can't say they're better than them right now, the way New England's playing. I think they are, but not with the way the Bills are playing and New England's playing. So you're still looking at probably a season where sitting it here at this particular juncture, 7-4, maybe 11-6 gets you like, okay, we're the 5 seed or 6 seed. And then you see what happens. But I want to get your overall thoughts on what you saw last night, where you want to go with it, and how you fix it. There is one thing I will tell you that's not going to happen. They're not firing the head coach today. They're not firing the general manager today. You might want that to happen. It's not happening. They're not. If you want that to happen, and maybe it happens at the end of the year, if this team misses the playoffs or even bows out early, who knows? I mean, there could be a change. But as much as you may be frustrated or want them or have wanted any of them fired. Now, the OC, I don't know. I mean, there was a change made at OC in December a couple years ago. So I would never take that off the table, especially with 10 days to go, 10 days before the next game. What I mean by that is even though Sean McDermott said, you know, Joe Brady's the offensive coordinator, no consideration of changing him a couple weeks ago. We've seen that happen before in December. Granted, it was maybe a couple weeks even before this, you know, this particular time period, but it did happen. So how do you get the answers from internally? Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't have them. And you just try to hold on for dear life and see what you can do. 803-0550 is the phone number to call. Where do we want to go first? Okay, let's, by the way, thank you very much for calling up here. Oh, you know what? I'm going to have you, for the first caller here, Joe Kelly, bring up Jeff and DePue, and then I will refresh my call screen from here. So you bring up Jeff, and then I'll do that. Go ahead, Jeff. You're on first. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, well, where do we start? Joe Brady got to go. How many times do we see the same plays over, 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 over? Number two, the end of the season, McDermott, goodbye. You're not taking us to the Super Bowl. I called last year and I said that. He wouldn't take us to the promised land. He's not going to. And number three, Mr. Pegula, wake up. You see what's going on. Do something. You are the owner of the team. You run the show. Wake up. And
at Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Last comment, playoffs? Did you say playoffs? Ain't happening.
Okay, I disagree with the last point. I still think they're a playoff team. Let's go to Clover in Texas. Thanks for the call. Clover, hi.
Hey, Sal, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate you, Sal. I know you had a long night, long week. You know, after sleeping on it, it's just, I thought this was just a tough assignment for these Thursday night games. They don't really set you up for success. You know, what I saw on Sunday, I thought they, you know, after coming off that Miami loss, I thought they just made some great adjustments in the game planning to win at Tampa Bay. And that was still a tough game. I mean, they went all out. And then to turn around game plan for this, travel, you know, still dealing with injuries. And the number one defense, I heard you guys talking about all week, was just really tough. And then, like, you know, just there were so many things that were set up, like, that happened that just put them in a tough spot. The field position, I heard you mention on Jeremy Joe, that was rough. I heard Joe talking about that last touchdown drive before the half and how just it was so bad they gave that up. I mean, you know, if they didn't do that, you know, we might have won the game. But I was just wondering what you saw as far as the defense being tired, because I know there was kind of a decent drive that they, and then they got a stop, and then Allen had the interception, so they had to get back on the field, and then they got another stop, and then Davis had the return, so then they had to get back on the field again. So I was thinking that they were probably tired, you know, with that minute and a half drive to go, and maybe that's why they just had a tough time stopping. But I think moving forward. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. You asked what I saw. I agree. I think they were tired. The time of possession, Clover, in the first half was only a minute difference. Texans a minute and a half more than the Bills, 15:42 to 14:18. But I do think that last drive, you go back and look at it. Let me just take a look at it real quick. They got the ball. They had the ball. They went 12 plays, 57 yards, the Texans.
Oh, wow.
And then wait. And then they get the ball back. They punt. They go 4 plays, 5 yards after the turnover. And then you have the kickoff return touchdown, and it's 6 plays, 75 yards. So, yeah, they were on the field in that second quarter quite a bit.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think moving forward, I mean, we saw Sunday, they have the ability to look at problems and respond. That was a really great response on Sunday. I think Gabe Davis is going to be really key moving forward. And then, you know, maybe they could get a different role for Coleman. But I think with 10 days to prepare for Pittsburgh, I think they're going to be fine, you know. And I just don't think the sky is falling. With, you know, I just think they're going to be okay. But I appreciate you, Sal.
Yeah, Clover, thank you. Thank you for calling from down there in Texas, where I'm sure it was tough for you yesterday in the Lone Star State to watch that happen. Yeah. By the way, 9 minutes to 6 minutes in the second quarter for the Bills, Texans to beat the Bills into prime possession. But I do think just overall, that's right. They were a little bit gassed. And what I saw in that last drive was it just looked like they were playing almost like a prevent. We'll give up the yards, but then yards after catch hurt the Bills. And that was a huge, huge swing in the game, no doubt about it. As far as Gabe Davis, man, keep thinking this morning, if Gabe's second foot comes down in bounds, it's so close, what is the conversation this morning? We're still like, oh my God, they got by and they can't keep winning games like that because of the offense, but you're still, what a difference, you know, waking up today to 8-3 because of his foot comes down in bounds. Not by any fault of his own. He made a nice catch, but foot doesn't come down and he's out of bounds. And here you are at 7-4 this morning. John in North Buffalo. Hi, John.
Hey, Sal. I must say Joe Brady in the offensive line last night had the backbone of a chocolate eclair. I mean, 8 sacks. Josh was hit over 20 times, I think. I mean, the reason why we aren't winning the division this year is because of coaching and a weak GM, without a doubt, and it starts at the top. At the end of the day, though, it doesn't matter. Nobody will get fired. And, you know, the book is out on the Bills, I think, and how to stop them. They are probably, at this point, one of the most predictable teams in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, some of that was on Josh, but certainly most of it was not. I mean, you know, you do have to say Josh should have thrown the ball away a couple of times, took a couple really bad sacks, stepped up into a couple pressures, but there was just too much pressure right away. And rarely have I seen this Bills offensive line get beaten physically the way they did last night. They were beaten physically last night, and rarely have I seen that from this offensive line. It happens once in a while, but usually not to this degree, at least. I mean, those two edge rushers, we said it going into the game. Will Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter, I mean, those guys getting after it. I mean, really got after it. And it was a tough assignment and task, but the Bills didn't help themselves. And Joe Brady, maybe coming up with answers, chipping, helping out, double teaming on the edges, that didn't happen enough, maybe. But Josh also didn't help himself a couple of times trying to play hero ball. But why does he play hero ball sometimes? It's because he's looking for something to develop that doesn't develop, and it's not there, and that's tough as well. Let's get to Rush in Amherst. Hi, Rush. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you.
I want to talk about the offensive line here.
Yeah.
You got two huge tackles that are very good players. And you're going up against the number one defense, and neither one of them guys showed up. I know Brown was hurt, but I saw Dawkins quit on a bunch of plays, just let the guy go by. They're asking Allen to do way too much in this situation, number one defense. These guys got to step up. I mean, come on. You got the greatest football player ever play the game behind you, and they can't hold a block for more than 2 seconds on these two guys. I mean, granted, those guys, they're the best in the game. There's no doubt. I haven't seen that. That 51 is probably the best rusher I've seen in a long time.
Wait till you see Myles Garrett in a couple weeks.
Yeah, this guy is better than him, believe me.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. He's great, but Myles.
Dude, I don't know.
Okay, well, let me tell you this. Deion Dawkins, just for a little preview, has said before, and he will tell you, the toughest guy for him to ever block is Myles Garrett, and I think Myles Garrett is the best in the game. But anyway, the point is, you're right, he's really good. I mean, he's great. Last night, what you saw from that. But I'm just telling you, you think those guys were really good, wait till you see Myles Garrett. The difference is they have two of them in Houston, and they showed it last night. Let's get to Brian down in Florida, Boca Raton. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning, Sal. I hope you're doing well today. I know the tough one there last night, but yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, I just want to say the Deion Dawkins false start penalty on 4th-and-1, inexcusable. You can't do that. The game on the line, you're a 10-year veteran. You're making a mistake like that. But I think Sal, this goes to a bigger thing here. I've called into your show before. I've mentioned about the program that the Bills have. We're now in year 8. We do not have a Super Bowl. We do not have a Super Bowl win. We don't even have an AFC championship. We have let the prime go by with Josh Allen. We have continually every year drafted poorly. We have made poor free agent acquisitions. We are now past the prime in the NFL within that first 5-year window. That really is kind of your window to win with a once in a generational talent like Josh Allen. We are past that. Now we can see where the cap is. We can see the talent around Josh Allen. I hate to say this, and it's extremely critical of me, but the accountability now with the program and the whole trusting the process, defending our dirt, everybody eats, this is not working anymore for this team. I know it's a drastic change, Sal, but in order for this team to take the next step, Tarek Bagula is going to have to make some incredibly difficult decisions here in the offseason, and I think they need to be made with both your GM, Brandon Bean, and the head coach, Sean McDermott. I'm looking to bring, honestly, Brian Daboll. I think he had a great rapport with Josh Allen. He got Josh Allen that offense to go, and I would also try to bring in Joe Schoen if he gets let go of New York. But I'm telling you, from a program standpoint, this is not the same Bills team from 4 or 5 years ago. You don't see that energy. It's like every year there's something leaky. You have a defensive line that can't stop anything this year. You're 31st in the league. You have 153 yards a game going against you. You know, in other years, you know, our secondary has struggled, or lack of wide receivers for Josh. I mean, what do you think really needs to change in order for them to finally climb that mountaintop and win a Super Bowl for Buffalo? Because other than making a severe change, I don't know how this team can go any further. And I do think they'll go to the playoffs, but they're getting bounced in the first round. You can't stop the run in January, you're finished. So I know it's critical, but
all right, Brian. Thanks for the call. It's Daboll and Shane, by the way. That's how you say their names. Just so you're aware. You know, Brian Daboll, I've heard his name float around a lot since last night. I mean, Sean was asked McDermott point blank if he would consider bringing him back in any capacity. He said that's not under consideration. I think it's, you know, there's out there like about the two in their relationship. I don't know. I think that's a bit overblown, but either way, I don't see it happening. Brian Daboll's getting paid by the New York Giants to do nothing essentially while he can wait for his next move. I'm sure he'd love to be a head coach again. And if you want to be the next head coach for the Bills, so be it. I would point to the fact, though, that, you know, he did not have a good record as head coach in New York, but also looked like they found their quarterback in New York, and he did have a rapport with Josh Allen. But if you want those kinds of changes made, you know, they are drastic, and it's something that I don't know if Terry Pegula would have the appetite to do. It is interesting. I've read people today, and I want to, by the way, Paul Hamilton is going to join me in an hour because I do want to at least get a little preview on the Sabres tonight. But I want to ask Paul too, this really interesting question, because I think you can look at it both ways. There are people who say, fans, you, I've read you and you, heard you say that, like, Terry doesn't do anything in hockey. Why would he do anything in football? He actually has done. The Sabres have had 7 head coaches in the last, since the drought, since they fired Lindy in 2013, in 11 years. I'm sorry, 12 years now. And several GMs, right? So that's a lot. So I do think there have been shakeups and changes made. I think it's your perspective, though, because the GM they currently have has been there a while and they haven't made the playoffs, the Sabres, that is. So I think that's where people get to, he's too patient. So I don't know. I don't want to get to right away. It would never happen. I don't know what it would take to happen if that's missing the playoffs entirely. And a lot of you want it to happen sooner rather than later. I think you still need to let the season play out. We'll see where it goes. 803-0550 is the number to call. Good start to the program. Really appreciate all of you. Thoughtful calls. I know a lot of you are very upset today. And rightfully so. The Bills played a poor game last night from top to bottom. And now they find themselves in a really tough situation here in mid to late November. 803-0550 is the number to call. Watch it, the show. Hey, watch it out there. Watch the show on YouTube at WGR 550. Get involved in the bullpen as well. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back with more of your phone calls on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday.
And Josh Allen comes to the sideline to Trubisky. What are we doing? Kind of frustrated there.
That is Kirk Herbstreit. Last night, Amazon Prime. Joe, how was the broadcast last night? I haven't gone back and watched the TV broadcast yet.
It was okay. It wasn't... I just... Owen and I were talking about this earlier this morning. I have trouble getting behind the whole... We both pointed out the Herbstreit thing where he just doesn't seem to know the players' names. And, I mean, if you want to go back and listen to any point in the morning show, Owen had a phenomenal point made about it, but he's just calling out numbers 90% of the time. Like, he doesn't... I don't know. Like, that's one thing I pointed out. And then the play clock stopped working. Did you notice that down on the field at all? Like, did you see the play clock stop?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They announced it at the stadium that the play clock would be... held from the referee.
Yeah, okay. And then one other thing with the referee, the one that the unfortunate injury that happened in the end zone, they showed a replay of that on the broadcast.
What happened to Adrian Hill? Did he like hurt his calf or Achilles? I don't even know.
It looks like he popped his Achilles. All of a sudden he was jogging and then he lifts up his foot and he's hopping. Oof. He can't walk.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't see exactly the injury, but we saw him go off the field, helped off, and then we saw him get into a cart. And I was just adding that to the monstrous injury report, by the way, from the night, right? I mean, it's like at that time, you're like, okay, let's add Adrian Hill. By the way, Adrian Hill went to the University of Buffalo, the referee last night. Did you know that?
I did not know that. It's pretty cool.
And he went to the University of Buffalo, and he's literally a rocket scientist. He like propulsionary nuclear engine, rocket engineering or something. I don't even know. Something like that. It's crazy.
Yeah. Officiating's the part-time job, right? Is that?
Yeah, it's exactly right. That's exactly right. I didn't have a problem with the officiating last night. Bills made a couple of critical penalties, especially on returns. The field position all night was terrible partly because they were hurting themselves with penalties on returns. The first kickoff and the first punt, they had returns, penalties that put them back inside their 10-yard line.
Yeah.
So,
It was like clockwork. Every return, it was just yellow on the graphic down at the bottom. You couldn't get away from it at all.
And then you're like, okay, let's hope there's not a penalty on this one. And Ray Davis takes one to the house on his birthday, by the way. I was wondering how many people have ever had a kickoff return on their birthday in the NFL for a touchdown.
That's a good question.
Ray Davis did that last night at the age of 26. Herbstreit, by the way, I posted a picture on social last night, not on Twitter, my Instagram, but in case you haven't seen it, his dog, Pete.
You met him?
It's great. I did. I got to meet Pete on the field. And the reason I say it is Pete wasn't at the Bills game. He was, but he wasn't up in the press box area. So I didn't see him. And then, so I saw him on the field. I'm like, I got to meet Pete. Pete is a great dog. And literally they take the picture like, Pete, look at the camera. And Pete looks at the camera. It's crazy.
He's media trained.
He is media trained. Yeah. So it was really nice to meet Pete down on the field with Kirk Herbstreit last night. All right, by the way, the Barnes Firm Injury Report is when we talk about all these injuries brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. A lot last night that happened that we'll hear from Sean McDermott later today in the at 4 p.m., I believe it is, where he will speak to the media, give an update on Spencer Brown, Terrell Bernard. That looked bad. He was in a sling afterwards, friendly fire, so to speak, if you want, with Matt Milano coming in at the arm and seemed like the arm and elbow bent the wrong way. Spencer Brown, his arm was in a sling in the locker room after the game. He went back in, but then he came back out. You had AJ Epinesa get his neck checked out. He went back in. Khalil Shakir, I think it was a shoulder, but he was clear to go back in. Max Harrison left the game early, did not return. Head evaluation for him. I don't even know. I might be missing somebody because there were just guys that were dropping out. And that's this Thursday night stuff, man, that people talk about. Right. Yeah. So last night, not only, you know, losing the game, but losing players last night for the Bills, and that's been happening all year for them. Okay, we will, if we have time, we'll hear from Sean McDermott, you know, but in the meantime, let's just keep firing up the calls because I'd rather hear from you than play that sound at this point, but I will play the sound at some point if we have some time, but I want to hear what you have to say about last night. Let's get to Mike in Colorado. Hi, Mike.
Yes, good morning. First of all, I want to tell you I personally appreciate your dedication. I know you have a family, and you know, you're working on a lot of short days a lot of times, so I don't want that to be dismissed by some people. But
I just say that, you know, I know what I got into in this business, and I love it more than anything. I appreciate you saying that. It is a rough morning sometimes like this, but especially when the Bills lose and you know that you're going to have to kind of walk through it with the calls and things like that. I appreciate that. But you know what? We're here, and then we'll have a couple of days to kind of reset a little bit. So thank you for that, Mike.
Okay. Let's get into it here a little bit. the offensive line got totally emasculated last night. You know, Deion Dawkins, I think he's getting a little too comfortable in his own celebrity. You know, key to the city. Oh, I race cars. Oh, yeah, I'm quite the personality. How about staying with some blocks for a while? How about that? Second of all, defensive line. Who is the coach for the defensive line? This has been an issue for quite a while. Who's the coach? So can somebody give me a name?
They have defensive line coaches. They have several of them. Marcus West is one. Ryan Nielsen is another, and Jason Rebrovich is another. They have several defensive line coaches.
Well, okay. Well, the one or two or three of them, whoever it is, some second tier firings should be in line. I realize you're not going to get rid of the main people. It's, you know, it's mid-season. They're just not going to do it. But some second-tier firings should be in line, and maybe, just maybe, it would shake up this team. I think you need something that's going to maybe shake this team a little bit to maybe start, you know, having some people think, you know, you may be able to coast to a 10 or 11 season, you know, victory, you know.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
But at the end of the day, unless some people get shooken up on this team, maybe that's what they need to light a fire under them for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the season, all those things are always on the table. There are changes every year. There's always changes in the coaching staff. Some are by their own volition. They take jobs elsewhere, and then we hear nobody wants to work with McDermott stuff when they go and take another job for a promotion or something. And then you have the firings and changes, and those things happen every year under the surface. Sometimes you know a little bit more about it, sometimes you don't, but nobody really focuses on it unless it's really a coordinator. And I think those are the ones, and I understand what you're saying, though, but I will tell you, though, that at the end of the year, those things, you know, get evaluated. You're right. Not something that happens at this point in time. Let's go to Billy in Toronto. Hi, Billy.
Hey, Sal. Listen to a lot of these calls. I'm glad I'm not near a bridge, for God's sakes. I mean, Sal, to me, this is what you call a football season. I mean, last week our offense looked dominating. Looked dominating, and then we didn't look good at all in yesterday's game. Our defense looked terrible last week. It looked good. It looked, you know, more than good this week. This is just a football season, and it's been a topsy-turvy season. I get it. I get the frustration and all that stuff. But Sal, I've said this once. I'll say it a million times. Just get me to the playoffs. This season I think the Bills just want to get back to get into the playoffs. And once they get there, Sal, I will take them against anybody, especially this season. I'll take them as long as we got Josh back there. Games were going to look good. Games were going to look bad. But I am telling you, this team is still as good as we've always thought they're going to be. And I'll take my chances with them in the playoffs. That's all I got, Sal.
I would say that if the Bills get to the playoffs, and they should, I agree that anything can happen. When you have Josh Allen, other teams have injuries too, anything can happen. I think the difference is, Billy, and I appreciate your optimism. I do, and I love when you call and you're like that. I think, though, the difference is people see that this team has too many flaws and inconsistencies compared to other teams we've seen in the past get to certain points, you know? All right, Jerry, hold on. Bruce, hold on. I'll get right back to you. And your phone call is 803-0550. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We have open phone lines as well. We'll do that after this timeout here on a Buffalo Football Friday on WGR. All right, back here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, we'll get to more of your phone calls. I put a little note in the chat just to let you guys know that I'm there for you, thinking about you, watching you, I should say. And I appreciate you being there for me and everybody else and talking along here. So we got Bass, Buff Bills 83, Paul Wentz, UAV Doug. We got 999, Deox, lots of other guys coming in, and guys and gals, I should say. Joey, thank you. I don't know. Sal got roped in a media plant for the Bean team. They're way out. I have no idea what that means. That's okay, though. Thank you very much for coming along. Joey as well. Everybody, including Jerry and Kenmore, who's up next on the phone lines. Hi, Jerry. Go ahead. You're on WGR.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Before I get to my main point, the killer last night to me was the Dawkins penalty. I think they had a design Allen run on that 4th and 1, which times he scored on from 12 and 15 yards from a spread formation. And at the very least, he gets a first down to the 12 or the 10, use their timeout. You get three plays into the end zone. There's still a really good chance to win that game. But 4th and 6 is way different. That's a huge, huge mistake, which leads me into my problem with this team. And it's not just last night. I'd like to know the percentage of times we snap the ball with under 2 seconds on the play clock. We seem so disorganized at with the game clock. We're the first, the defense knows you have to snap it and you're running out of time. You've given the defense more rest. Our offensive players have to hold their position slightly longer, which leads to some motion penalties. There's so much in that we seem like it's a panic. When it gets under 4 seconds, it's always, even at home, it gets to 0 and 1, and it bothers me because it feels rushed.
Yeah, you know, Jerry, I agree. At times that happens. I think the issue happens when they come out of the huddle late, because sometimes it's designed to, where Josh lets it go down because he wants to take the full breadth of what he can to see what he's doing, and he knows where it is, and he knows he's got 3, 2, 1, and I have no problem with that. What I had a problem with last night was that 4th down, the play gets in late, and then you get out of the huddle late. Now you don't have time to see everything for 6, 7, 10 seconds, and then you have to snap the ball. So, no, you're not wrong about that, and it's happened on the road a little bit too much. Even at home, yep, I agree. But sometimes it's designed to snap it with 3, 2, or 1 left because Josh is taking his time to see everything, and there's nothing wrong with that. Last night, the operation of getting the call in late is why Josh said after the game he was seen on the sideline saying, "What are we doing?" It was the play coming in late. He should have, he said, call the timeout. And I agree with you 100%, Jerry, that 4th and 1 false start on Deion was just a killer. It really was. And Deion took ownership of it after the game, so everybody knows he did. He said he's got to be better. That's on him. He prides himself on not making mistakes like that and, you know, being the best, as he said, but he wasn't in that moment, you know, and he knows it. He knows it, but you can't let that happen. You just can't in that situation. Bruce in North Tonawanda. Thanks for holding, Bruce. You're on WGR.
Hey, good morning, Sal. First time caller to your show. Thank you.
You got it.
I wanted to digress for a minute. The three penalties on the kickoffs, so 2 by number 38 and 1 by number 35. I'm pulling a Herb Street because I don't know the names. But I want to confirm with you, when 4th down calls are made, is it the offensive coordinator that makes the call or is it the coach?
Do you mean like the decision to go or the play?
Yeah, the decision to go, yes.
Oh, it's the coach. I mean, the head coach controls all of that. Head coach always decides if they're going to kick a field goal, punt, or go for it.
Okay. So my point being is that we're down by 4, and it's 4th and 2, and I think it's just before Josh says, "What are we doing?" That play where they try to run up the middle and get completely blown up. If they were to kick that field goal, they're down by 1. The defense plays pretty decent in the second half. They give up 3 points. And Now you're not even looking for a touchdown. You're looking for a game-winning field goal, and this whole mess could have been avoided simply by 1 darn call. And the decision that, I mean, McDermott used to be the guy that never goes for it on 4th down. Now he's doing it like like maybe a little bit too much, I guess. I don't really know what to say. I'd like to see your thoughts on it. Or hear your thoughts.
You're talking, let me just go back to it again. Let me just get everything straight here. You're talking about the fourth down in the fourth quarter, correct?
Yes, correct. Fourth and two, okay. Where they tried to run up the middle and got blown up completely.
Yes, so fourth and two. Bills go for it. It's fourth and one, actually, at the Houston 23. And they get the negative 2 yards. My thought is there at that point in time, the game is 23-16. Since 23-16, you're down seven. What does a field goal really do for you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was 6 points. My fault.
No.
My bad.
You're down seven. I go for it there, too. It's fourth and one. You got to go for it there.
All right. My bad.
Yeah, I hear your point. You know what really hurt him, though, Bruce? To further your point, you're not in that situation, and then you have that decision if you make the extra point on the first touchdown.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. No problem. I'm glad we worked through it. Thanks for the phone call, and thanks for being a first-time caller. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More of your phone calls on the way. The second hour, the 11 a.m. hour of the Extra Point Show. I will get Paul Hamilton at 11:30. I do want to ask Paul's thoughts on Terry Pegula and his approach to the Sabres, his approach to the Bills, because a lot of you have a thought that he's too patient with the Sabres, but I look back at all the GMs and head coaches, and I don't know if that's correct. And I just want to get Paul's thoughts on that, but that's at 11:30. Sabres do play tonight. We'll have that for you on WGR, of course, and of course, more of your phone calls. So stick with me here. Good first hour of the show after a tough loss last night in Houston for the Buffalo Bills. We're talking about it on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
And they've got him beat on the screen. Shakir racing, cuts it back, tries to shake a defender. He's got the first down. He's up the sideline. 35, 30, 20, and out of bounds at the 21-yard line. Steps up in the pocket, pocket collapsing, and he's wrapped up, and he's going down for another sack. Way back at his 35-yard line. Four-man rush. Allen throws it over the middle. It's complete to Palmer. Hook and ladder, and they're going to get the first down. Up the sideline is Shakir, and he's out of bounds at the 26-yard line. The hook and ladder, baby. Allen back to pass, has to throw it down the middle, and it's intercepted.
All right, some of the sounds last night from Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sal Capaccio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday here at Studio Capaccio today. Glad you could join me. Got in last night, walked in the door, I believe, at 5 a.m. Went on with the guys a couple hours later and tried to digest everything as quickly as possible from last night. Wrote arrow up, arrow down. You can find that at WGR550.com. And now it's time for a bit of a reset after that game and getting 10 days before the next one when it comes to the Buffalo Bills. And also here on the program, going to hour number two. So let's tell you, here on a Buffalo Football Friday, it is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, call the eights, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel, game day ready since 1922. Good first hour. You can watch us on the stream, on YouTube, at WGR550. Thank you very much for everybody who's come in today. Had some fun interaction during the break with a lot of you, but back I go. Back to the phone lines we go, back talking with you. Paul Hamilton will join me here in this hour at the bottom of the hour. And tonight, the Sabres are at home to take on the Chicago Blackhawks. And that will be a 7 p.m. puck drop with pregame at 6 here on WGR. Connor Bedard coming to town. We'll talk with Paul at the bottom of the hour. And also ask him just going to do a little comparison between the hockey team and the football team and how Terry Pegula has treated things over the years, since a lot of you are asking that. Let's go to Don in Southern California, who's up next. Hi, Don.
Good morning, Sal.
Good morning.
Hey, you and I are the same age, so we've been through the ups and downs of these Bills for quite some time. Hey,
yeah.
Question for you. So, you know, what's the communication between Joe Brady and Josh Allen on the side? Never see a headset. You know, he says, what's going on? What do those two talk when the defense is on the field?
Yeah. I mean, I think I have seen them. You're right. I don't see a headset on them necessarily, but I think a lot of times the communication is really from Josh to Ronald Curry, his quarterback's coach, who's in constant communication with Joe Brady. And Josh with his backup quarterbacks, they're all kind of listening in a little bit. He has the ability to talk to him, and I think he does once in a while, but it's really more Josh, I think, talking with Ronald Curry, his quarterbacks coach, and other staff members while Joe Brady is, you know, formulating what's going on for the next drive.
I'm getting to the point where we need to go K-gun, let Josh just run the offense, and get us to where we need to be.
Yeah, Don, you know, Don, it's funny. I had somebody say this to me the other day, too, and I actually like the up-tempo. I do think that part of it would benefit the Bills. I thought they should have done that a little bit more last night. But let's just remember here, and I know it's easy to say, put Josh back there. He's a better play caller, let's say, than Joe Brady. It might seem like that. He's not the one game planning. He's not the one that is seeing the still pictures, what they're doing. He can identify stuff at the line of scrimmage. But to actually do that and to go into a series, you have to really understand what's going on. And I'm not here to tell you it could never happen and work, right, Don? I am saying, though, I think there's way more that goes into it to think that it's that simple to be able to do. Do you know what I mean?
I got you. One last thing, Sal. I mean, next week is a must win. I mean, we got a tiebreaker loss now against the Texans. They're in the hunt. The Steelers will be the next one on potentially. We need this game next week or else we're in trouble for the playoffs.
Yeah, you got
that's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, you have two straight AFC North teams and then an AFC East and then another AFC North. You have your next four games, like the five in a row counting last night, are AFC games. And if you're going to be in this wild card position, you better win these games for tiebreaker purposes. You're right about that, Don. Thank you for the phone call. We'll go to Nate, who's in St. Louis. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Sal, I got a question for you. You know, moving forward for next year, I hear a lot of other hosts talking about that, you know, that they're not going to make any changes up top. So, you know, what are we going to do in the offseason? How are we going to retool? You know, what changes are they to make? But it's just going back to the 2020 season of, you know, after that AFC championship game loss, you know, it's always been, what are we going to do in the offseason? What are we going to do next year? And I just oppose to you, like, what do you think do they need to change in that front office and the coaches wise, or if they're even capable to change, that we're going to see a different result? You know,
Well, I don't know the result yet, Nate. Here's the problem with this conversation. It's not you. It's the whole thing that surrounds it. We everybody wants to get to January and make changes. How about we let's get to January? We don't know that they're going to miss the playoffs or get to the AFC Championship and lose or get to a Super Bowl and win, which is still possible. We don't know. I can't answer that until we know what happens there, right? If they miss the playoffs, sure, I'm all for it. You know, make a lot of changes because obviously the direction of the organization might need to change. I don't know. But I just think it's so much jumping the gun and putting the cart before the horse. Yeah, you can watch this team now and go, well, they ain't making it. They got to make changes. We're not there yet. There's 31 other teams going through the same process right now as the Bills, 31 others. And really far less than that who know they're going to be probably in the playoffs but have no idea, right? I don't know. I can't answer, and none of us can. And can we let the season at least try to play out? I know it doesn't seem great right now. It's 7-4, which is weird to say, right? 7-4. A lot of teams would love to be that. They're 7-4. They're in a playoff spot right now. I don't know. They could get to the playoffs and play Indy and Denver and match up well and go on a run. I don't know. It's unlikely. Not telling you it's likely. Why is everybody so quick to make changes in February when it's November? Because you have you have an idea of what's going to happen, but we don't know what's going to happen. And that's always the issue that bothers me about this conversation. You know, I mean, what are they going to do about next year? Well, when next year happens, wait till next year. What are they going to do in January? Wait till it happens. I don't know. Let's see how it plays out. You know, I mean, yeah, you can look at salary cap and all these decisions have to be made. Well, guess what? Between now and next year in March for salary cap, even more things will happen that you have to start deciding what is best or not best for the roster. You can't make decisions about March right now. You can't make decisions about February right now or January. If you want to make a change now, you can do it. If Terry Pegula wanted to fire the head coach or the GM now, he could do it. If the head coach wanted to fire the offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator, he could do it. You could do those things. But we're talking about, like, at the end of the season changes? Then let's wait till the end of the season. Let's go to Nikki in Connecticut. Hi, Nikki.
Hey, guys. Hey, Sal. Thank you for taking my call, man. I need this therapy.
You got it,
so
you got
I gotta
it, buddy.
Say, you know, this season is weird, right? And it's one of those weird seasons because it's not just last night's game. I mean, take the play call timer. You know, it's also the Miami game and a few other things. And the way J17 has just been playing, it almost seems like he's back to his old ways of being too in his head. And I just go back to the fact that every year before this year, right, we've been so close. And whether it's because of a defensive coordinator or because of this or XYZ or, you know, 13, 14 seconds, whatever the case may be. This is why it's so important to make it happen when you can, because you never know when you're going to get the year that you're getting this year. And you never know when that regression is going to happen. But at the end of the day, regression comes down to one person, or maybe two in this case, which is the head coach and the GM. And I think it's time to say, as much as I love McDermott, and I truly do, and I'm grateful for what he's done for the organization, I think it's time to say you're not the one that's going to get us over the hump. It's not you. And we need to figure that out, because right now what we're doing is we're wasting Josh Allen's years, and it's bothering me.
I'll go back to what the previous caller said and ask you a question. Do you think they should do that today? And if you did, would it change anything about this season? Like, seriously, like, you know what I mean? GM and head coach.
Truth. The person that I think they should get rid of, especially after what Josh got caught on camera saying last night, it's maybe not the GM or the head coach, but it's definitely the offensive coordinator.
Okay, but that's not the question I asked, because you said, hold on. But I'm trying to work through that. This is the broader issue and the broader point I'm making. You said you think that it might be time to move on, which is fine, totally fine. What I'm asking you, Nikki, is and what I just made a point about the previous caller is, okay, that's fine, but can we at least let the season play out and then you make that decision? Because you don't know what's going to happen. You just don't.
True.
And you're right. I mean, you could get into the playoffs. You could match up with Indy and Denver and go on a run and, oh my God, Josh Allen, MVP, and everything's a lot different. So when people say that to me, I always think like, okay, do you think that now, or do you think that at the end of the season, .. if things don't happen differently? You know what I mean?
No, fine. Fair. And that's perfectly fair. And I'm going to answer your question then directly. Yes. My answer is yes, I do. I felt it since last year. I felt this at the beginning of the year.
They should do it today, like right now.
That they should do it today, honestly.
And do you think if they fired the general manager and or the head coach today?
I'm more the head coach. Yeah, I'm more the
head coach. Let's say they fired the head coach today. I don't know who are you bringing in today to be the head coach that would actually do it. Don't say Brian Daboll. He's getting paid by the Giants to be the head coach. I don't think he's coming here to do that, okay? It had to be somebody
exactly
on staff.
What I was going
to
say.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just
the only reason
Nikki,
that is because he's the only
Nikki,
one that's brought his best years.
Okay, but
he's brought his best years to life.
But Nikki, I mean, I can't speak for Brian Daboll. It just seems like a very, 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 very minute chance that would happen in the middle of a season. He's sitting at home waiting for his next move. I guess it could happen, but you'd probably have to go with someone on staff. You know how this works. You fire a coach in the season. Someone becomes the interim coach is what happens with the staff that they're working with. And then does that person get the different result that what you're hoping for? And I just think that that's so foolhardy right now to think that would happen.
Yeah, I agree.
Right.
I
you know agree. What I mean, buddy?
Absolutely.
Now, if Brian Daboll woke up today, Nikki, and went to your house and said, I would take the job, that's a little different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. In a nutshell, though, it just comes down to just, you know, Josh Allen's getting older, and we've been fortunate to not
get it.
Thankfully, not get him hurt. Even though, if you ask me, I do think he's playing hurt this year. We just don't know the whole story. But it's a waste.
I get it.
It's a waste.
I understand, Nikki. No, I'm going to get some more calls. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate your call. No, I understand your sentiment. I think that. That's where I land. When people call up, when people do on social, fire the coach, fire the GM. You can do that now. Do you think, and maybe you do, maybe you out there think that would change the trajectory of this season? They're not going to go out and get a GM from outside the building to bring in right now to change this roster. You're past the trade deadline. All of the staff that's been doing all the work on the draft is here. That's this staff. You're going to have to elevate an interim head coach. Again, I don't know. If you want to talk about the Brian Daboll equation, we could do that. But I just think it's a non-starter at this point, you know, for something like that. But would it change? Maybe it would. Maybe people feel like, no, Sal, that would be a different voice and different direction. And, hey, I mean, we saw it in hockey. We see it sometimes, right? Long season. Blues went and won a cup when they did that. I think a couple teams have done that in the past as well. In football, it's different. In at this time of year, do something like that. I guess it could happen. I just don't think it changes now. You have to wait till the end of the year, and then all those concerns and questions and calls could be very valid. AJ in Hamburg. Hi, AJ.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. First time calling into your show.
Okay.
I just have a few points I wanted to bring up about the offense and then maybe post a question after. But, I mean, my main frustration, you know, last night, that you could point to a lot of things, but it's that 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1. It seemed like we were in that situation a lot of times. And you look at a team like Philadelphia or, you know, any And in a situation like that, Nick Sirianni says, you know what, we're gonna sneak it twice. You got to stop us. What are we doing? We're getting too cute, as the coach wants to say. We're running it up the gut with James Cook, so Josh Allen has to take four steps back, so James Cook can have to run 6 yards to get one. And it's just incredibly frustrating when you see in the beginning of the game, we run that sneak and we get it with ease. Josh makes a terrific play. It's like, put the ball in his hands. That's what you need to do in those situations. And time again, we're straying away from it. And it's because that Kansas City playoff game, it broke Joe Brady. He thinks that we can't do it. It's like, just do it and force your will on this team. And then, you know, on top of that, just with Joe Brady, you know, everyone wanted to point the finger at Diggs. Oh, he's washed. He's this, he's that, because of that second half fall off. Well, look at where we're at now and look at what Diggs has done. I mean, he went to Houston, he balled out, then he tore his ACL. Now he's playing very well coming off a torn ACL for the New England Patriots. And meanwhile, we're here saying everybody eats and trying to, you know, make this offense work with no number one target, because that's Joe Brady's philosophy and how he thinks it'll work. And it's panned out horribly. And, you know, at this point, I think, like, if there isn't some systemic change going on, you know, at the end of the season, I know what you've been saying to these other callers. I'm just saying that, you know, I just think nothing's going to change. And one last point, I mean, this D-line, we have invested time, 5 years. We put in premier assets, premier money into this D-line, and it's amounted to nothing. Like, absolutely nothing. I mean, it's just so incredibly frustrating. And I want to hear your thoughts. What are your thoughts on, you know, the Diggs and Brady situation? Because I just think that, you know, Brady, I think now it's proven that, you know, we were wrong with, I think Diggs said, choose me or Brady or McDermott are gone.
But we don't know that. No, we don't know that. I don't have any reason to believe that at all. I just think that the relationship wore itself out between the two sides. I would say this, AJ. I don't know if it's Stephon Diggs. I think they miss a guy like that, though. And I think, though, his personality was weighing on the organization. That's what I would say. I think on everybody, on Sean McDermott, on Joe Brady, on Josh Allen. Like, that's my read of it and how things ended here. I don't think it's choose me or him. I don't even know if he wanted to be here anymore. I have every reason to believe he didn't want to be here anymore. I mean, seemed like the year before that he was trying to get out and he didn't. So I don't want to go that far. But I do agree, AJ, that it feels like they need a guy like that. And their approach since then has been, we're not going to have a guy like that. But now you kind of need one, right? I think that's where you're going with this. And you don't have that critical guy to make that play. And this number one guy who, you know, can win in all situations. So I don't disagree with that part of it. So I just, but yeah. So anyway, so I agree with that part of it. I don't think it's him specifically. But yeah, a guy like that could really help this offense. By the way, I mean, Tyrell Shavers has this great game on Sunday last week. And then this week, I mean, he's hardly heard of. I went and did the snap counts, and he wasn't on the field that much. He was on the field for 39% of the snaps, 26 snaps. He was the fifth wide receiver on the field, Tyrell Shavers. I don't know if he would have helped. Maybe not, the way that the pass rush was and what they needed personnel-wise, but it just felt like, you know, that could have been a guy that could have helped you after what you saw last week. I'm not really sure. And that's another issue where you say, that's Joe Brady who makes those calls. And him and Adam Henry, their wide receivers coach, going through the process of the week and who's on the field and what situations. Let's go to Jim in North Tonawanda. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, Sal? Long time, no talk. Listen, I don't want to waste any time. I'm going to get straight to the point. The first thing that needs to be done before close of business today, Brandon Bean has got to take a look at these healthy players. There's 31 other teams in the National Football League with practice teams or practice squads, whatever they're calling them now. And get some healthy players in here. Figure out who's banged up, who needs to go on injured reserve. And you automatically upgrade your team by bringing in healthy bodies. And the second thing that he should do before close of business today, get a list of the top five defensive all-star players from the United Football League, bring them in tomorrow morning for a tryout. The Bills got nothing, everything to gain and nothing to lose by doing it my way. It's just try. Try. All I'm saying is give it a try. And if these five guys from the United Football League don't pan out, cut them. Get rid of them. But give them a tryout. Let's do something. Shake the system up a little bit. Think outside the box.
Okay. I'm going to totally disagree with you on that, that would actually help. But, hey, I guess anything is possible. Yeah, every team does have a practice squad. You know who else has a practice squad, Jim? The Buffalo Bills. And they have healthy bodies they can bring up. And those guys are more valuable to this organization than some guy that doesn't know the system. And by the way, anytime you bring a practice squad guy onto the team, whether it's your own or someone else, it actually does cost on the salary cap to start paying them. And you're going to have to do it either way, you know, whether it's somebody else. They do every day go through the injury list. They do every day think about who needs to go on IR. They just put a guy on IR yesterday before the game, Mecole Hardman. So, you know, I mean, hook shoot. UFL, XFL, European High School League. I don't know. Is that what you want, Jim? I mean, maybe you think it'll help, I guess. Mike in Rochester. Hi, Mike.
Dale, how you doing? I'm trying not to let my emotions get the best of me today and teetering between this play it out the season versus burn it all down. But here's where I'm at right now. And listening to everybody talk, I kind of share in all of it. But I guess I have a question regarding the blitzing last night. I feel like, and this might just be a subjective opinion, but I feel like McDermott's always done really well with whether it be rookie quarterbacks or backup quarterbacks and just making them not feel comfortable. And watching Davis Mills early on, it seemed like he couldn't really get anything going. And what I don't understand is why did he just rely on the inconsistent pressure of our front four instead of bringing more blitzing to try to rattle him? Right. That to me just it doesn't make sense. And then when we needed to get a stop later on in the game and we did blitz, it worked out perfectly and we got the ball back and we were able to kind of have a chance there at the end. That's number one. Number two, with respect to the offensive line struggles last night, what's happened to bringing in guys like Alec Anderson? I remember being at the playoff games at home, and it's like number 70 is reporting is eligible, and we're always bringing in another guy to help Chip and to just give that extra protection to Josh. It just seemed like everybody at home, everybody knew that Spencer Brown and Deion Dawkins were getting beat except for them. And so I guess I just don't understand why we're not making those in-game adjustments when everybody can see it, and obviously Houston saw it too. That's why they kept doing it. So that's kind of those.
Okay, I'll answer that question for you. Because when Alec Anderson would come into the game last year, they weren't protecting Josh. Yeah, they might have a play action here or there, but it was to run the ball. He was a sixth offensive lineman run, and what they're doing this year is using Jackson Hawes in that role because he's an excellent blocker, as good as any backup lineman, I guess, at least close to it, and he can go out for a pass. I have no problem with that. I think it's actually a good strategy because you can actually show that you're going to run with six linemen because Jackson Hawes can be like a lineman, and then he goes out and catches a pass maybe. I'm all for trying anything different, but it wasn't like Alec Anderson was in for pass protection all the time. They would bring him in to run the ball. Now, I do agree with your other point, though, Mike, which is I would have liked to see a little more blitzing early on too. But, you know, Davis Mills was very off early on. He was like 1 of 8 or 1 of 9 to start the game. It's like, hey, we don't need to blitz this guy. He's just going to be off. You know, once he started connecting, I think he did hit on like 11 of his next whatever passes, 15 or something. And, you know, maybe they should have started to dial it up a little bit more. I would have liked to have seen that. I agree. I would have liked to have seen a little more blitzing a little bit early, but I don't really have a problem with how they're not using Alec Anderson this year because it's really just the same. They're using Jackson Hawes. And they're running the ball well. I mean, that Alec Anderson came in to help run the ball last year, not to really be a protector. What's he going to do? Is he going to sit on the outside of Deion Dawkins and be an edge guy? I don't think so. That's not really what his role is or what his job is. But they didn't protect well last night. So, hey, maybe your idea or any idea could work and help out because they did not protect last night. It was a very bad night for the offensive line last night. Not a good night for the Buffalo Bills. They lose 23-19 to the Houston Texans. They now go to 7-4. On the season. We'll take a timeout here. Paul Hamilton on the way. Going to ask him a little bit about how Terry Pegula treats the Sabres versus the Bills. Get his thoughts on that. Take a look ahead to tonight's game against the Chicago Blackhawks. Connor Bedard and the Blackhawks in town to take on the Sabres. Tough couple of nights for a Buffalo sports fan. Sabres lose to the worst team in the NHL, the Calgary Flames, who come to town and beat them 6-2 on their own ice. And then the Bills go down to Houston and get beaten up physically and beaten on the scoreboard 23-19 to the Houston Texans. We'll do all of that with Paul when we return here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Hey, Joe, did you know tonight that Niagara in basketball is at Duke at Cameron tonight?
Yes, I think it's the first ever matchup between the two teams, too.
And obviously, Greg Paulus, the head coach at Niagara, played for Coach Krzyzewski at Duke, Coach K. He was a guard on the Duke basketball squad. And then Greg Paulus was Mr. Football and Mr. Basketball in New York State in high school. He was such a good football player and recruited everywhere. He actually then, after 4 years of playing basketball, played quarterback at Syracuse University. So, so now he's going back to Duke to play a game, to coach his team. Niagara's 2-2 this year. They have beaten Binghamton and Delaware State. They've lost to Lemoyne and Duquesne. And now they go to Duke tonight to take on the Blue Devils at Cameron in Durham. And that is a 7 p.m. start. So good luck to Niagara and Greg Paulus tonight. Sabres at home tonight. We're going to get with Paul Hamilton in a minute. 7 p.m. start against the Chicago Blackhawks. That game can be heard right here on WGR Sports Radio 550, along with the pregame show, which begins at 6 p.m. tonight. Bills do not play on Sunday, but these teams do. Jets at the Ravens. Tyrod Taylor now getting the starting role for the New York Jets. Ravens, Lamar Jackson pops up on the injury report, but he's kind of sore and dealing with things. Should be no problem with him playing. But Ravens, depending on how the Steelers do in their game at the Bears, could be tied for first place with the Steelers in the AFC North after this weekend. Jets 2-8 at Ravens 5-5. Steelers 6-4. They could be 7-4, taking on the Bills when they meet next week. The Bears 7-3 right now, having a nice little season, a lot of close games. Aaron Rodgers going back to kind of his hometown, basically, right? I think he's from that area, to take on the Chicago Bears. And he's got a fractured left wrist, same thing, I guess. So we'll see how that impacts him. What's going to happen with Joe Burrow? Any word on that yet, Joe? Do we know? He might play, right? Burrow might play against the Patriots this
week. Listen, if you're asking me, I think he's going to. He's been a full participant in practice all week. I don't see you practicing and then having the Bengals, who still, I mean, if they go on a heck of a run here, they might have a chance, right? So, like, I don't see them sitting him if he's available to play. Like, Flacco's also on the injury report and limited. So
I think you're right. No Jamar Chase, no Trey Hendrickson. Still a tough battle and tough hill to climb against the 9-2 Patriots and Drake May, who is one of the front runners for league MVP, and now, of course, a chance to get to 10-2 and take a really commanding lead on the AFC East in the Buffalo on the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East. That is a 1 p.m. game. Patriots at Bengals. Giants are at the Lions. Lions 6-4. Try to keep pace in the NFC North with the Bears. That's a really tight division. 7-3 Bears, 6-4 Lions, 6-3-1 Packers, 4-6 Vikings, Giants 2-9 right now. They go to Detroit this week. They go to New England next week in a primetime game. No Brian Daboll there anymore. The Vikings, though, and the Packers, very, very important game in the NFC North. Still plenty of time if the Vikings can get a win here to get to 5-6. They could drop the Packers to 6-4 and be only a game behind, or 6-4-1, I should say, and be only a game behind. Then you have the Colts and the Chiefs. I mean, at this point, I think you might just want to keep rooting for the Colts, keep the Chiefs down and out of it. I don't know. Maybe you want the Chiefs to win if you still feel the Bills can win the division and catch the Colts. Last night's loss might have changed a lot of how people thought about this game and where you want to go and what you want to do with the Colts at the Chiefs. Daniel Jones shows up on the injury report for the Colts, so that's not good. The Chiefs coming off a loss last week, they are 5-5 now. After that loss 22-19 last week to the Indianapolis Colts. So a very, very important game there at 1 p.m. in Kansas City. Seahawks 7-3 at the Titans, 1-9. Cam Ward starting to play pretty good football for the Tennessee Titans, but they're still only 1-9 in line maybe for a number one pick again. Seahawks they look really good. Even though they lost last week to the Rams after four interceptions from Sam Darnold, still looks like a good football team, real good football team on defense especially. Jags are at the Cardinals, 6-4 Jags. Have a chance to go to 7-4 and pass the Buffalo Bills in the standings to put the Bills in the seventh seed. Cardinals are 3-7. I mean, I just want to watch Jacoby Brissett sling the ball around, to be quite honest with you at this point. You know what I mean? So Brian Colesio just told me, Pat Malacaro is calling the game tonight with Todd Callen. Great for Pat. He was at the shoot around yesterday. All right, great for Pat. Pat Malacaro calling the game tonight, so appreciate that. And thank you, Brian. Appreciate you telling me that. So good luck to Duke tonight at Cameron. Good luck to Niagara tonight at Cameron Indoor against Duke. Okay, Browns at Raiders. 2-8 at 2-8. Raiders not having the season they thought they would, but this is not a surprise to me. I thought the Raiders would not be very good, but I know they have more than two wins by now, I guess. Tough division, but they just haven't gotten off the mat. Browns can't figure it out offensively. It looks like Shedeur Sanders is now going to be the quarterback. Maybe he's the quarterback the Bills face. Who knows? When that game takes place in a few weeks, their defense, Myles Garrett, still very, very good. But a little more leaky as of late, giving up 23 last week to Baltimore, 27 to the Jets, 32 to the Patriots. What happened to the Browns defense? I don't know. Still really good, but I don't know. Maybe not as good as I thought. Eagles at the Cowboys. Rematch of week one. Remember the spitting incident with Dak and Jalen Carter. Remember that? Jalen Carter and Dak. 8-2. Eagles at 4-5-1 Cowboys.
Yeah, they shut the Cowboys down pretty good. The Eagles got shut down pretty good, I should say, that week in week one.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown Eagles had still, one yeah, fantasy
Eagles
point.
Eagles are 8-2. Like, the Bills are 7-4, right? I get it. And Eagles are 8-2. So you win, you're 9-2. It's not the same scenario, but man, there's just a lot of questions about them by their own fan base and media over there, just like the Bills. It's crazy. Chiefs are 5-5. There's so many questions. Ravens, look at them. I mean, I always say this, folks, okay? That fans look at the team, the Bills, their team, in such a microscopic lens that you don't see what's going on around the league enough. And every team goes through struggles and goes through ups and downs and goes through, oh my God, this coordinator sucks and fire this person and up and down week to week league. Every team does. You got to look around the league. Look at the Eagles and what they're going through with their fan base right now, what they think. Look at the Ravens, and I know they're starting to charge here, but what they went through for 10 weeks, basically 9 weeks. The Chiefs for sure at 5-5. We'll get to Paul Hamilton in 1 second. Let me wrap up the Sunday slate. Falcons at Saints in the NFC South. Tough for Michael Penix Jr. out for the rest of the year with that knee injury. Buccaneers at Rams, a good football game, I think. I was impressed with the Bucs last week. 6-4 Bucs at the Rams at 8-2 are playing good football right now. And Matthew Stafford is especially as well. That is your Sunday night game, by the way, Buccaneers-Rams. Your Monday night game is Panthers-49ers. And the NFC West, who would have thought they both have winning records right now? Panthers especially at this point in the season. Okay, let's get to Paul Hamilton, who joins me on the Westher Hotline. The Sabres are at home tonight to the Chicago Blackhawks and Connor Bedard. And I heard Paul say the other day, and he's right, this is not your same Chicago Blackhawks team, folks. This is a team playing good hockey right now. They're 10-6-4. Bedard's having an outstanding year. After what some felt was maybe a bit of a sophomore slump last year, not the case this year, they come to town against a Sabres team that just looked awful the other night against the worst team in the league, the Calgary Flames. Good morning, Paul. How are you? And are you down at the arena? Any news to report from Lindy Ruff, who just spoke with you guys?
Only one Blackhawk is on the ice right now. Benson was a possibility for tonight, but he was out there, and Lindy said he's not able to go. I'm getting the impression maybe Sunday might be the time for him to come back. Zucker will be back for this game. Okay. I knew Colton Ellis probably wouldn't start here. I think this was his – even if he had a good game the other night, I think this was his day off. I'm a little surprised Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is the starter. I thought maybe Alex Lyon would be. But Luukkonen is in net for the Sabres. But you talked about the Blackhawks. I look at, all right, why – Bedard, of course, is a big part of it, 29 points in 20 games. But look at their goaltending. Spencer Knight has a goals against a 2.47 and a 9.22 save percentage. And Arvid Soderblom has 2.52 and a 9.12 save percentage. When you're getting goaltending like that, you're going to be a good hockey team. And this is a team that had been rebuilt. Anaheim's in the same boat. They were rebuilding. They got good young players, and now they're coming out of it. And that's the difference between these two teams and the Buffalo Sabres. They just never seem to come out of it. You know, I mean, they've rebuilt and then ripped it down and then rebuilt, and here they are again, and they just never seem to roll out of it. And that's what the Chicago Blackhawks are doing.
Okay, this is a really good segue. I'm glad. I've said I'm going to ask you this today because I've read and I get people calling me saying, well, Terry Bagul will never make changes. Look how he operates the Buffalo Sabres. And I say, okay, let me examine that for a minute. Because the Sabres have this 14-year playoff drought. And since 2013, when they originally fired Lindy Ruff, they'd had 7 head coaches, counting Ruff coming back a second time. 7 over the last 12 years. They have had 4 general managers, 3 since firing Darcy Regier in 2013. So 3 since they got rid of Darcy and he was in part of the beginning of the drought. All right, so it's 3 and 12 years general managers who don't usually get changed out as much. Now, I understand that Kevin Adams has been in his position quite a long time, 5 years, 6 years going on, basically not making the playoffs. So my question to you is, would you characterize Terry Pegula with the Sabres as too patient, or no, he's not too patient, he even might be impatient?
Well, for a while, you said it. I mean, he was firing GMs every two and a half years. That you know, whether it was Tim Murray, you know, mm-hmm. after he fired Darcy Regier, and then Jason Botterill, and now Kevin Adams has had the job going on 6 years. This is the sixth year. So mm-hmm. he's been given a bigger opportunity than and they were going to keep Jason Botterill. I mean, Kim Pegula had come out and said that, you know, we know things that you don't. And, you know, and within a month he was gone. And that was the last time Terry Pegula talked to the hockey media, which was 2020 or 21. I can't remember when Adams was hired.
It was June of 2020.
Yeah, 20. So that was the last time he talked to the media and said, you know, we felt we weren't being heard. And that's why Jason Botterill didn't get another year. It sounded like he was going to, but Jason Botterill wouldn't demolish the hockey department like Terry Pegula wanted, and Kevin Adams would. So that's how that happened. And here we are 6 years later, and the team's no better. You could even make a case that it's worse. And
let me go back to and ask it maybe a different way. But would you agree that he's not he's too patient? I mean, seven head coaches to me is not too patient. And I guess I'm trying to just kind of squash the narrative, I guess, from me to think that when people say, well, he'll never make changes with the Bills because look what he does with the Sabres. I'm like, no, he has made changes with the Sabres.
Yeah, and he made changes with the Bills before he came down on Sean McDermott and Bean. I mean, they were making changes all the time too. So that's the thing. Yeah, he was impatient for a long time. Has he changed? Well, with this GM, he has. I mean, he's still changing coaches out. I mean, Don Granato got maybe 1 year longer than maybe other coaches have, but he's still changing coaches out. This is only Lindy Ruff's second year, you know, but he's – you know, he is comfortable with Kevin Adams. He obviously likes what he sees and is comfortable with what he sees and is fine with it.
Sabres Blackhawks tonight down at the KeyBank Center, 7 p.m. start. What's happening in goal tonight? Do we know?
Yeah, Tuukka-Pekka Luukkonen, which I was a little surprised by. I knew Ellis, this was probably his off game, you know, that he, good mm-hmm. or bad against in the last game against Calgary. And he wasn't good. That was the first game where I would say he wasn't good, but none of his teammates were either. He was right there with his teammates. It's the first game I've seen him play where rebounds were all over the place, and Calgary did capitalize on that a couple of times. But even if he played really well, I think this was the game that he wasn't going to get. I kind of thought maybe Alex Lyon would get this game, but it's going to be Tuukka-Pekka Luukkonen, and it wouldn't shock me at all if Ellis was back in goal on Sunday afternoon.
How would you put them 1-2-3 in the pecking order? Is there a clear 1-2-3 right now in goal for the Sabres?
I don't think there is, but okay. I think Ellis is trending towards being number one.
Okay.
And I think but the thing is, everything is kind of a first for him. That was his first bad game in the NHL. How do you come off it? How do you react to it? We'll find out next time he starts. As I said, I would think it would be on Sunday, but nobody has said that. But now, all right, can you shake it off? Can you just, all right, that's fine. I'm going to get back to where I was. That's a key part there. So even when he was playing well, I would say he's getting the opportunity, but he's not the number one goaltender on this team yet. I think he has a long ways to go for that. But he was the one getting the opportunity, and he held on to it for a while because he was making big saves at big times and playing pretty well. You know, Lyon really started off well. I hate that his last game was 6 minutes and he got pulled. I mean, that was an awful game, and it wasn't his fault that you know, you get a breakaway right away, and it's Natchez who's the guy on the breakaway. You know, so, yeah, he didn't make a big save there, but still, I mean, how does that happen where, you know, that quick in the game, a breakaway, it's in and there's a goal. So that pulling of him was more trying to wake the team up. And it's like, all right, that's it. I mean, we're going to try to wake the team up here. And that's the last time he's played goal. So I'm sure he's just would love to get back in the net to kind of erase that from his memory.
Anything on Josh Norris after we saw him skate the other day?
Same thing. He's more day-to-day. Okay. He's still skating. He was out there today, still working. They knew he would be longer than Zucker. Zucker's back a little bit earlier. I think they were originally thinking maybe the weekend, but because he had to get his strength back. He had to start eating again. He had to get his stamina back, which he said was awful with his first day on the ice when we talked to him. He's probably back one game sooner than they thought. Norris, it's hard to tell. You know, it's just how does he feel? I think they ramp him up a little more every day. How do you feel today? You good today? Any pain? You fine? Okay, let's ramp it up a little bit. And that seems to be what they're doing with him. How long that takes, I can't tell you.
All right, Paul. Well, it's getting late early, I think, here for the Buffalo Sabres. They need to start grabbing some points, even though this is a mishmash and you know everybody's kind of together in the East. But they're falling behind when they lose a team like the Calgary Flames. They win tonight, they get to 20. They'll still be in the bottom, but still within striking distance here as they go forward towards the holidays. Got to let you go. I got to get out of here. Thanks a lot, Paul. We'll keep in touch tonight. And, of course, WGR550.com and at PHAM1717. Thanks, buddy.
All right, take care.
All right, that is Paul Hamilton. We'll take a timeout here. We'll wrap up the program on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And by the way, before I do that, Paul's appearance is on WGR, as always brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda, relax, we got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.